as we bring on Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts on Hockey Night in Canada. I don't know where to begin, but let's begin with the slowest moving story in the NHL.
Let me just begin with this. I know what? I always log in too early when I have to hear Marchese talk.
Actually, no, you're right on time. I just sort of blathered too much off the top, opining about Bruce Boudreau and what might happen now with the Vancouver Canucks. And is this going to be, you know, the St. Louis Blues redux, you know, St. Louis Blues version 2.0, coaching change. They don't waive everybody. The goalie gets hot. And next thing you know, they're raising the Stanley Cup. I don't know that we have those type of expectations for the Vancouver Canucks now with Bruce Boudreau behind the bench. But this is one that we've updated on a daily basis. At times, yep, that has annoyed people. I get it, but it was a story, albeit a slow-moving one. Your thoughts on the conclusion that we saw last night with the two principals here, Jim Benning and Travis Green, relieved of their duties?
Well, I think, Jeff, after Saturday, something had to happen. And that's what I think the organization decided, that no matter what they were thinking, and number one on that list was don't do something you regret for a decade. After that game on Saturday, they said, we cannot come back Monday with the status quo. And it was the way the team played. It was the reaction of the fans in the building. It was the looks on everybody's faces when that one was over. There was a realization, understanding that the same process could not continue. The key thing here, I think, for the Canucks ownership is that they did not do anything that has a ton of term. I was on this morning with Halford and Brough, and one of the things we talked about was, how can you hire a head coach when you don't have a permanent GM yet? This is a different case. It's Boudreau's there for right now a year and a half. Now, he's in the driver's seat. He's the incumbent. He gets the chance to show that he can make an immediate difference. But it's not like this is a long-term commitment. And I think that was key. And, you know, I think there's going to be more coming in Vancouver. Like, just since I was on their radio show 2.5 hours ago, and now, I think this is the first of what could be more. I think there could be more changes in terms of, you know, just the front office and things like that. I think they're going to take a long, hard look at the roster. But number one, I think, is can they get Pettersson going? And that's why Boudreau's there, because offensive players tend to thrive under him.
Yeah, I want to back up to the players here in a couple of seconds, but more changes coming. Do you know that they're close with anyone, or they have do we go so far as to say a preferred candidate for the manager position?
I don't know if there's a preferred candidate, but I believe that, put it this way, I was told this morning by someone that the Canucks are out there.
Of course.
They are out there. They are making calls. They are talking to people who are available, and they're also trying to determine, you know, who might not be available right now, but will be. You know, look, Montreal made changes. Mm-hmm. Bergevin and Mellenby are available. I think both of those guys are people that Vancouver might have interest in. To me, the biggest question about Bergevin, and I've heard that the Canucks kind of like Bergevin, but I heard this, like, before even Bergevin was let go. I was reminded of that today. But the thing is, like, Bergevin was burned out in Montreal. Nothing is like Montreal, okay? Nothing. Yeah. It's the toughest market in the league. But Vancouver's up there. You know, is he going to want that? After going through that spin cycle, is he going to want something like that? I think, you know, I haven't asked him. That's a question that I would have. But the Canucks are out there, and they're looking. And I just think the biggest thing, and we've said this a million times, and I'll say it again for the millionth and first time, is that they are determined to do this properly, and they know that people want fast results. They are not going to race into anything.
Do we know, and maybe the answer is everything's on the table here, and that's probably the answer, but I don't know. Do we know if it's a manager or managers? Like, are they going to go a director of hockey operations and a general manager route? Are they going to go with someone? Like,
I don't think anything's set in stone.
Okay, so everything is on the table then. Like, they would be looking at a number of different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, to the players. So one of the questions we talked about in the most recent podcast is, you know, who gets the Gabby bump, the Boudreau bump right away? You've talked about offensive players. Elias Pettersson would have to be one under consideration. Brock Besser only has 4 goals on the season. Bo Horvat as well. Who gets the initial shot in the arm here? And who gets the, hey, man, I'm just opening and closing the door for you treatment from Bruce Boudreau?
40. I think Pettersson's first on that list. Look, he's your cornerstone player. You have to get him going. And I don't think Green was wrong to do what he did in terms of, you know, the ice time. Like, they weren't winning. Pettersson wasn't playing well. You know, you can't lie to players. You know, people know who deserves ice time and who doesn't. But so when you're the coach, I get that decision. But when you're the organization, you're sitting here thinking, here's our $21 million forward, the jewel of our draft success, and this isn't working. And we can understand why this coach may be looking at it this way, but we have to look at it another way. There's a bigger picture here. And, you know, you're in a situation where organizationally, you can't just punt the season on Pettersson playing 13 minutes a game for the rest of the year. You're going to say, look, for whatever reason, this isn't working, and we have to find a way to get it to work. And I absolutely think that's one of the reasons that Boudreau was on the radar.
Do you have a thought? We spoke on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about, you know, if Travis Green is fired, you know, he gets hired, you know, as pretty much as soon as he wants. What's the immediate future here for Travis Green?
Oh, I think that there'll be interest in him. I mean, it just depends on, you know, what he wants to do, right? Like, does he want to spend some time with his family, maybe get the holidays in there? Does he need to take a mental break? Or does he want to hop right back in? Like, Boudreau himself, he was fired in Washington, and 2 days later he was coaching Anaheim.
Anaheim, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, everybody's different, right? But, you know, I think there's going to be interest in Green. I don't think there's any question about that.
And you don't think that the Vancouver Canucks players themselves are off the hook here? You think that there potentially could be some moves?
That's the most fascinating thing to me right now is that, like, the ownership there in the last few weeks, they made it very clear, we're not making any panic moves that we're going to regret. Mm-hmm. And I still think, like, when does that kind of go away? Like, if somebody calls you now about one of your players, where are we here? And I don't have a clear answer to that yet. I'm assuming we'll hear more of that today. I guess Ackley's going to meet with the media at 3:30 local, 6:30 our time, Jeff.
Yep.
So maybe we'll get a better idea of that. But like I said, they made it very clear. We are not going to do anything that we're going to regret. And they stuck to that.
Okay, turning the Vancouver page, and more on this with Thomas Trantz at the bottom of the hour. Chuck Fletcher a week ago said, no changes, look in that room, that's where our answers are, that's how we're going to fix this thing. They laid an egg against the Rangers, they laid an even bigger egg last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who had just finished playing the Boston Bruins the day before, and today Alain Vigneault and Michel Therrien are out, Mike Yeo in on an interim basis, and as our friend Mike Russo, who covers the Minnesota Wild for the Athletic, has noticed, 2 ex-Minnesota Wild coaches are employed today behind the bench in a head coach capacity, albeit interim, for the Philadelphia Flyers. What do you make of the Philadelphia situation? This is 5 games in 7 nights. Yesterday was game 1, and it was a clunker.
Look, when Chuck Fletcher came out last week and said, I don't want to do this, we have to sort it out here, I believe he was telling the truth. I think those were his intentions. But, you know, what's Mike Tyson's line? Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. and the Flyers got, you know, punched in the face. And this is not a good setup for the team to, you know, be successful out of it. As you mentioned, Colorado tonight, day off at New Jersey, day off at Vegas and Arizona. It's a really tough week. But, you know, the thing we talked about on the podcast today, Jeff, the thing that really concerned me about last night's game was Tampa comes in last Sunday at Minnesota, last Tuesday at St. Louis, Thursday home to St. Louis, Saturday in Boston, Sunday in Philly. And Philly, as you said, had 3 days off after the Ranger game. That should be, if not a schedule win for Philly, that should be set up for them to have Tampa in a bad spot. And you lose 7-1. You know, you can't ignore results like that, especially when you're in the kind of situation Philly's been. So I think they just got into a point where they had no choice but to do it, and we'll see where they go now. I mean, I have to think that Boudreau was a – I don't know if they've reached out to anybody yet, but I have to think, knowing Fletcher's history with Boudreau, he was at least someone on the radar. That's off the list now. I think some other names you're potentially going to hear going to be Tocchet, Tortorella, Jim Montgomery, maybe Green, and Dave Quinn. I think those are some of the names that are kind of circulating around, though I don't know yet where Philly's leaning.
You know, I'm always interested when you drop that Mike Tyson quote, because there's a similar military proverb that goes something along the lines of "No plan survives contact with the enemy." And further to that, I wonder, and I'll ask you the same question I just asked about Vancouver. Does the firing of Vigneault take the players off the hook? Or do you think that there might be changes there?
The tough thing is, I got to think Philly's considering just about anything, but the tough thing is... They made a bunch of moves.
Yeah.
You know, they did Voracek for Atkinson. They got Ristolainen, and they brought in Martin Jones. What's bigger? Giroux? Provorov? I mean, what's bigger?
You know what Philadelphia needs to do is to try to lure Matt Niskanen out of retirement.
Yeah,
That's what Philadelphia needs to do.
I don't think it's happening. I don't think he's coming up from ice fishing or whatever he's doing. I think if you're Philly, you've got to be sitting there and saying, is it time to drop the bomb?
The bomb would be Claude Giroux.
Or Provorov.
The
thing about Giroux is he spoke with the media last week, and he said, "Look, I haven't thought about any of this stuff." And Giroux, in Giroux's sake, that's going to be as much his decision as it is going to be theirs, right? I mean, to me, the real stunning move would be Provorov, who's really struggling right now. But if you're Philly, you're looking at this and saying, look, we've made trades, didn't work so far. We stood by the coach, didn't work. Now we're changing the coach. Let's see. If that doesn't work, where are we going?
The thing about Provorov is, I mean, he really thrived with, and I mentioned Matt Niskanen off the top, he thrived with Niskanen there. And the plan was, and again, injuries. But the plan was to pair him with Ryan Ellis. And I don't know that you make a move with Provorov unless someone comes in and knocks your socks off. And right away, everyone's going to say, oh, Vegas, Kelly McCrimmon, Brandon Weeking's association, that's who's going to try to go get him. I don't think you make a decision on Provorov until you see him play with Ryan Ellis. That's just my personal belief. I don't know, but that would be my belief here. That trade was as much for Provorov as anything else.
I think that's fair. I'm just surprised. Like I'm a big Provorov guy. I think he's a hell of a player. And you know, there was that Dryden Hunt goal against the Rangers on Wednesday, and there was one last night. I think it was the 1-2 goal where it's like an odd man rush for the Lightning, and he's he just looks like he doesn't know what he wants to do. And it's like, I think he's a really talented guy. It's just really weird to watch. It's baffling to me.
Okay, a couple of other things around the NHL. Saturday, we spoke about the Montreal situation, and you mentioned the name Kent Hughes as potential future general managers for the Montreal Canadiens, where everybody thought that when Jeff Gorton talked about things like, you know, non-traditional and, you know, not necessarily having general manager experience, but having business experience and maybe it's agents, I think everybody turned to Pat Brisson and said, oh, he must be talking about Brisson from CAA,
yeah.
Who, by the way, I don't think he could take the pay cut, but nonetheless, that's another issue altogether. And your information that you presented on Saturday says that it's Kent Hughes whom Jeff Gorton was referring to.
I think so. I don't know that. Like, I don't know that that's going to happen. But I do think he's somebody who's on Montreal's radar. You know, Kent Hughes. For those of you who aren't familiar. He's born in Montreal. He played college hockey at Middlebury. Then he went to the Boston area where he's a player agent. And the Saputo family bought his agency a couple of years ago. That's called Cortex. And he is, you know, the thing that's interesting about him is, A, he's bilingual. B, he and Gorton have a good relationship. They're pretty tight from the Boston area. And C, you know, he has been very successful with prominent French-Canadian clients, Patrice Bergeron. Yeah. And I know, like, I got to tell you, like, one of my buddies is a big Canadiens fan. He texted me, do you think this means that if Hughes is the GM, Bergeron's going to be a Canadian next year?
And Letang.
And I said, yes. And I was going to say, you want Le Cavalier to come out of retirement and play for them too? Because Kent Hughes represented them. You know, I just think, you know, I think he's a guy who's got a lot of, you know, it's a lot of circumstantial evidence, but it makes sense. Obviously, as I said, no contact yet, but, you know, there's a couple of people who texted me after and said they are pretty tight. So, you know, we'll see if it goes anywhere.
Yesterday's Toronto-Winnipeg game had a little bit of, not a little bit, a lot of old school in it. And by that, I mean a lot of ultra-violence, as they would call it in Clockwork Orange. And the fallout is a fine for Wayne Simmonds, and in person for Jason Spezza, and a phone hearing for Neil Pionk. What did you make of yesterday's Toronto-Winnipeg game?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, the number one thing I take out of it is that I don't like what this sounds like for Rasmus Sandin.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason the Maple Leafs reacted the way they did, is because they were mad that he got hurt. And they were concerned about what it could mean for him. And, you know, Pionk and the Leafs have a history. And, you know, one thing is, first of all, about Pionk, he's a tougher player than I think he gets credit for. He's he's pretty placid, docile looking guy, but he can really hit. I can't remember who it was that told us, Jeff, that they said that when they played against Pionk, they realized he didn't get enough credit for what a hard hitter he was. And last year, remember, him and Marner had that big battle. So they don't like him. The Leafs don't like him. They felt that he got away with one in game. I know Toronto was mad at the officials. They felt the referees lost control of the game. And Spezza, who otherwise has a clean history, you know, I think he looked at all of those things and he just said, this is BS. And he decided to do something about it. Now, I think he was offered an in-person hearing because I could see this being one of those situations where he goes in there and he says, I was mad, but I wasn't trying to kill the guy, and maybe he doesn't get like 5 or 6 games. If he goes in there and says, I wanted to destroy him into the next century, then he probably does get a big suspension. But, you know, I think they wanted the option to hear what he has to say. And, but look, like, I think Toronto feels their player got injured. We don't like Pionk. The referees lost control of the game. And we decided to take matters into our own hands. And we'll see where it all ends up.
Yeah, Spezza, to sharpen the pencil on your point, he has been offered an in-person hearing via Zoom.
Yeah.
So,
and the thing is, people should realize is it gives the option to suspend for more than five games,
but not automatic.
You have to do it. Like Brendan Lemieux last week had the option, and they just gave him five.
Right.
I think this one is all going to come down to how Spezza handles the hearing and what he says.
Right. Also around the NHL, really quickly here before we let you go, something. How much we make of this, considering he's been around the team for a while. I know it was an optional, and Linus Ullmark wasn't there, but a lot of talk about Tuukka Rask in Boston today. In practice with the Boston Bruins, probably eyeing something like a January return. Do you have a sense on Rask one way or another right now?
I think that Boston's on a road trip right now. And I think when they were just finishing a road trip. Yeah. And one of the things I heard was there were probably going to be a conversation sometime around the end of that, after they got back and kind of see where everybody was. You know, we talked a while ago, Jeff, that I didn't think it was Boston or no one, but I did think that Boston was the number one priority. And I think that's the case. I think he is likely going to sign there, and we just have to kind of wait until he's ready to go. And also, you know, it helps them cap wise the longer it takes. So I would think he's going to sign there. I just don't know the exact timeline.
A couple of quick hitters as well. I talked about taxi squads on Saturday, this in light of what we saw with the American Hockey League, seven teams shut down, etc., and the inability of Boston, interesting, to call up players earlier in the week. You and I have discussed, I can't remember if it was on the air or off, the idea of teams being allowed to carry three goalies now, given that it is such a sensitive position, given that I'm sure the league is not thrilled, although fans love it, the idea of e-bugs playing at all and what image that projects to the NHL. Do you know if we're any closer to a conversation about teams being allowed to carry a third goaltender?
Well, never mind closer. I mean, it gets discussed all the time, Jeff. Like, teams bring it up all the time. But the league fights back against it. That's number one. And there are teams that don't want money outside of the system. That's number two. And there are others who say, come on, like, we all knew the rules. Why should we bend it? Now, my only argument to any of this is that, look, you know, we asked for everyone to get vaccinated. Almost everybody did. We don't control COVID. It controls us. There has to be some understanding here that even in this is not like an injury. This is not like you going into the boards and getting hurt and then they have to replace you. This is COVID, where if you can be vaccinated and you can take the precautions, you can still get it, right? And I think there has to be a bit more of a wide berth on something like that. But not everybody agrees with me. And of course, those people are all stupid.
Okay, so now we're insulting people, so we'll just turn the page. Okay, back to your afternoon of texting and finding out what's happening in Vancouver and Philadelphia. Thanks as always, Preach.
All right, Jeff. Have a great day, bud.